Welcome one and all to another Ars Blog Arscast on arsblog.com in association with oleole.com. We're well and truly into the close season now. All the football is over, more or less. Unless you're going to follow the Spanish League. Champions League final is over and done with. There's nothing going on at all. So, what I'm going to do for the rest of the summer, in order to make the Arscast sort of around the same sort of length of, as they've always been, I'm going to talk really, really slowly. You know, like one of those 18, 19 numbers that you ring up and they give you like betting tips and things like that. And they take ages to tell you what's going on because it costs £2.50 a minute. I actually did one of those things years ago when we were we had a radio station here in Dublin. And we were a pirate radio station, but we set up this competition line where you could win a prize that just simply did not exist. And so we got one of those telephone numbers. It cost $2.99, I think, a minute or something to ring up. So I had to go out and do the voiceover thing and the quiz question. So who is the member of AHA whose name begins with M? Is it Martin, Mickey, Maximilian, or Morten? And that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the Arscast. Between now and the start of the new season, we're just going to have lots and lots of slow-talking stuff. Not really going to work, is it? Seeing as I've just told you how it's all done. On the way in this particular Arscast, we have got around the table sort of a blog chat with, hopefully now, because I'm recording this bit before I record the bit with the lads, Gilberto Silva from Gunnar Blog, the man from East Lower, and Good Player from goodplayer.com. And we'll be discussing the season past and where we've gone wrong and sort of a season review thing and what needs to be done between now and the start of next season in order for us to become competitive again. As well as that, the man in the bar is here, and there's a couple of other little bits and pieces. A little interview with Arsene Wenger is in there as well, and whatever else I can think of between now and the end. Now, as you'll all have been aware, Arsene Wenger was in Spain this week in Madrid, and while we know he was there to do a deal for José Antonio Reyes and to try and sort out his future, the Spanish press, Marca in particular, as we know, are very close to Real Madrid, reported that Arsene was dining on Tuesday night with a representative of Cesc's agent, if that makes any sense. Not his agent, but somebody who works for him. And they discussed the possibility of Cesc moving to Real Madrid. And also AS, the other Madrid paper, said that Arsene Wenger said that he would bring Cesc with him wherever he went, whether that was at Arsenal or not. And they speculated, or invented, if you will, a story about Arsene and Cesc moving to Madrid together as a package deal. Right. I think we're going to have to put up with this all summer long, because the title race in Spain is still going on. It's the most exciting title race in Europe and the most exciting one in Spain for many years. And with that all going on and all the football, they still have time for all this kind of shite, essentially. So when the season is over and summer is in full swing, it's going to get even worse. What is good, though, is that Cesc's agent came out and basically denied Marca's story. He said it was false. He said, "I swear on my family that nobody from my office or any representative of Cesc was in Madrid with Arsene. That's totally false information." He went on to say about Cesc having a contract for another 7 years. He says he likes it at Arsenal and has never expressed any desire to leave. So there you go. Will that draw a line under that? Probably not, because Real Madrid really, really, really want Cesc Fabregas. I think it'd be a big coup for them in terms of his talent and the sort of player that he is. But not only that, him being a Catalan boy, they'd love to get him on board. For them, though, Cesc does have a 7-year contract with Arsenal, another 7 years. And although he's going to go back to Spain at some point, I don't think we have to get our heads around that. But it's not something that's going to happen in the short term anyway. Certainly not this summer and next summer or possibly the summer after. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm just, you know, guessing, really. Now, one man who is going is Giulio Battista. Earlier in the week, I caught up with Arsene Wenger and asked him about Giulio Battista. What did he make of his departure from the club?
A disappointment and a big loss.
And what about Matthew Flamini?
A disappointment and a big loss.
What about if Manuel Almunia went back to Spain?
A disappointment and a big loss.
And Freddie Ljungberg is another one that's been linked with a move away from the club. How would Arsene feel about that?
A disappointment and a big loss.
And what if we had to say goodbye to the goal machine that is Jeremy Aliadier? Is there anything cuter than a football manager's laughter? I don't think so. So there you go. Baptista is on his way. He has gone. And not a surprise at all, really, because despite one or two good performances, obviously Anfield and obviously the Carling Cup against Tottenham as well, where he scored another hat-trick. One, of course, was an own goal, but then came back and scored two goals in the second half. He just hasn't done it. And the deal, of course, was dependent on Real Madrid wanting Reyes. And I think what probably would have happened is that we'd have swapped them and they'd have given us a few quid and that. But Real Madrid don't want to keep Reyes. So that means that Arsenal aren't going to pay whatever Real Madrid want for Baptista. Given his performances this season, the price tag of 20 million that they're looking for is really rather ridiculous. So whether he stays at Real Madrid or goes elsewhere in Spain remains to be seen. But he's not an Arsenal player anymore. And I can't really imagine there are too many people that are that upset about it. It would have been nice if he'd made it, if he'd come and been, you know, excellent instead of shit. But it wasn't to be. Que sera sera and all that. And he can go back to Madrid and gorge himself on fine foods and wines and cheese with strange jelly stuff on it. Later on, the man in the bar will be here with another player history. But now, yesterday, I spoke to three other Arsenal bloggers about last season and about how they view our squad and what we need to do to improve things for next season. I spoke to Gilberto Silva from GunnarBlog.com, Good Player from GoodPlayer.com, and the man from East Lower from EastLower.co.uk. After a couple of false starts, I managed to get things up and running. So here's the discussion in full. It's rather lengthy, but sure, there you go. What else have you got to do this Friday? Work? I don't think so. I should also point out that any sort of heavy breathing noises that you hear on the phone are entirely down to Gilberto Silva, because he's a phone pervert. I think that's what it is. Last week we spoke to him and he was hanging around back alleys and now he's making heavy breathing noises down the phone. Those of you with daughters may want to sort of lock them up. So, friendly advice. Anyway, here it is. Now on the Arsecast we have a third time lucky, three esteemed Arsenal bloggers. Good Player, hello.
Still here.
Still there. Gilberto Silva from Gunner Blog.
Just to let everyone know, Blogger really fucked us up.
Okay, thanks for that. And the man from East Lower, how are you?
I'm still in the holding pattern.
Excellent. This time, I think we can talk about the defence, and possibly people might hear about it. We'll start with that, with our season review. I'm going to mix it up a little bit here now. Gilberto Silva, the defence has been a problem all year long. Is it to do with personnel, or do you think it's the system that we play?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, I think basically the problem is the personnel are very good, but they've never seemed to be in form at the same time. If you look at Gael Clich and Emmanuel Boué, as one has waxed, the other one has waned. You know, people talk about Clich, he's had a great season, but at the start he was nowhere. You know, same as Justin Hoyt, they came on very late, whereas Boué at the start of the season looked solid, towards the end looked a complete nightmare. In the centre, we've had problems with injuries, but the main thing is the lack of a partnership between the centre-backs. Obviously, there's questions about if Gallas and Toure are compatible. I think at set pieces, the zonal system isn't really working for us. Gallas has talked about moving to man-marking, and I'd be interested to see that. But there's no doubt that the personnel are there with the right organisation to build a good back four.
Okay, man from East Lower, the right back position is one that has caused problems throughout the year. Emmanuel Eboué, for all his good stuff going forward, is less than convincing in a defensive way. But we now have two right backs who signed long term deals. Do you think the idea for Arsene Wenger is to get the two of them to scrap it out?
I think it probably is initially. Definitely. I think the jury's out. I mean, I think Hoyt's done well, and I think Aboué's done less well, but he's probably more talented overall. So you know, I think the idea is to scrap it out and see what happens. Personally, I think Hoyt pips it for me on several levels, but I wouldn't be surprised if Aboué upped his game if he was the man. So yeah, I think they will be scrapping it out together.
Okay, good player. What do you make of William Gallas and as Gilberto Silva alluded to, the lack of compatibility between the two of them? Certainly they're both sub 6 foot. They both like to play that sort of a game where they drop off a big stopper of a centre half. Do you think that the two of them can forge a partnership, or do we need to decide, you know, which one of them is going to be long term in the team and put them alongside someone like Senderos or Juru?
I don't buy the 6 foot thing whatsoever, because it seems to be, that theory seems to be suggesting that there's never ever in the history of top level football been a central defence of two players who aren't beanpoles, basically, or at least where one of them's a beanpole. And you know, were that the case, then it would be impossible to believe that Wenger would even try it in the first place. I simply think they haven't played well enough. I think that's the honest answer. I think Torres played well but got tired later in the season. I think Gallas hasn't had his mind on the job, has coasted somewhat, and I think Clichy's got, cliche alike, he's been brilliant, but he's inevitably had to get better as the season's gone on, because he came back after a long-term injury. And Aboué is just slightly mad, frankly. And it's just, they just haven't played well. They're perfectly capable of playing well. They're perfectly capable of keeping clean sheets. They haven't even conceded that many goals. They've just conceded them at the most stupid times. And if you look at the goals, the least important league goal we conceded this season was an 87th-minute goal for Reading, which made it 2-1 and made for a very frantic final 3 minutes. We've conceded at appalling times. We haven't even conceded that many, and it's just something we need to get right by playing better.
Okay. Does anyone else have a feeling about the centre-half thing? Because I think you're missing out something if you don't have a physical presence in the middle of your defence. And for me, Gallas isn't somebody who wins an awful lot of headers. And where we have been suspect this season is on set pieces.
Yeah, sorry, I think that's why we've got four. You know, that's why we've got four central defenders, and two of them are tall. Okay, they were sort of edged out a bit towards the end of Jura and Senderos, that is, were edged out a bit towards the end of last season, but I don't see any reason why one of them can't come in and make the, you know, and take that place. So I think that's probably why we have as many as we have.
Would anybody buy a defender in the summer?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. Right then, we'll move on then to midfield. Gilberto, apart, the lack of goals has been a problem, man from East Lower. Wide positions have also been a problem. That's something that needs to be addressed.
I think wide problem. The wide is a problem for sure, definitely. I also think we're lacking drive in the midfield. I think we've got some amazingly talented players who are, you know, if they played with someone with a bit more drive, that it might make a massive difference. I think at times we've looked like we need someone, when we're not doing so well, to kick us up the arse a bit, and I'm not quite sure who does that in our midfield. So, but yes, wide areas, I think Kleb is an important player for us. I think he should stay, but I think he needs some competition. And I think Rosicki, I think he's got to be given more time.
Okay, Kleb, an important player, Gilberto Silva. What do you make of that?
I think he has been in the past. You know, I think at times this season we really missed him. He's got some qualities, especially when we've got a fullback who plays on the overlap. He comes narrow, he can play them in. But the problem is that we've really, really, his form has really, really dipped. And as it was just alluded to, there's been no serious competition whatsoever. You can look at Freddie Ljungberg, but to be honest, he's not really going to go past someone on the outside. And if you look beyond that, you're looking at Theo Walcott, who's only 17. So Kleb, I wouldn't mind seeing him stay. If we need funds, he's someone I wouldn't particularly mind seeing going either.
Freddie, good player. Will he be with Arsenal next season?
No, I don't think he will be. I mean, not from what I've been told. And I just think, regardless of that, I think it's fairly obvious that his time has probably come. He's done a fantastic job, but the problem is when he's at his best for us nowadays is when he's filling in as an emergency striker, and we all go, oh, he's actually done really, really well, because we thought he'd be really, really crap at being an emergency striker. And he hasn't done really, really well, but he's done really, really well relatively, basically. Freddie Ljungberg's not an emergency striker. He shouldn't be one. He's a winger, and he's passed it, I'm afraid. The question is,
would he, like Giggs and Scholes, would he kind of, after this dip in his late 20s, early 30s, would he then find a second wind? I fear he won't, because so much of his game was getting that half yard in front of people. I fear that his injuries over the years have just meant that he's never going to regain that. You know, great, great memories, fantastic, but let's be honest here, you know, I think his time is gone. I think if you look at what Arsenal needs, what any championship-winning side needs, is a winger who scores goals. You had Ronaldo this season, you had Joe Cole last season, we had Pires when we won the title, we had Overmars when we won the title, we had Limpol when we won the title, and that's what we need. If you look at Herb, he's not going to do that. Riziki, unlikely. So we need a winger who's going to score goals, Walcott, quite possibly. But will he deliver? I don't know. But that I think, is what every title-winning side needs anyway.
Okay, Gilberto Silva, what about our collection of central midfield players? We've got Cesc, we've got Danielson, we've got Gilberto, we've got Diaby, who I think we really need to see in central midfield. Does the centre need a new face, or does it just need a little bit of freshening up by using somebody like Diaby, for example?
Well, I think you've forgotten the return of the prodigal son, Alex Song, coming back from Charlton.
Oh my God, how could I have forgotten?
How could he slip your mind at this crucial summer period? I don't think we need anyone there. I mean, Matthew Flamini's going to go. Danielson, Diaby improving all the time. Cesc and Gilberto ahead of that. People say they don't work as a partnership. I don't really buy that. I think they're good, and I think Diaby we can afford to mix it up and rotate a bit, maybe rest Cesc from becoming so tired. I personally wouldn't bring anyone in the centre.
Okay, you would bring somebody in the wide positions?
At least one, yeah.
At least. Any names?
I'm sort of hoping it's going to be someone we haven't heard of who's going to be incredibly good. How likely is that?
The phantom player.
Certain.
Well, because everyone who's been named has their flaws. You know, no one strikes me as like, oh yeah, that's who we should get. So I'm hoping that a rabbit is going to come out of the proverbial hat and is also going to be brilliant at football.
Excellent. A rabbit down the wing for Arsenal.
But that's indeed. Can I just butt in here? That's why we can't sell Hleb, because there aren't that many rolling off your tongue amazing wingers who are available. And Hleb, okay, he doesn't score any goals, but when he's on form, he still does quite a lot. He just need a bit of form.
A lot of passing to the opposition, though, as well.
Well, it looks good.
Some of it was quite flamboyant towards the end of the season, I have to say. Some of the passes, long passes, crossfield ball straight to the feet of the fullback is frustrating. And that, I think that's one of the things that is frustrating about Kleb, isn't it? Is that he's got such quick feet and he's talented, but end product just doesn't seem to work. His feet work separately from his brain.
What brain?
Ah, that. okay, so we're looking at wide players. At least one wide player?
Yeah, at least one.
Up front, then. We have Henry and Van Persie to come back. Adebayor has signed a new deal. Bentner has signed a 5-year deal. And possibly Theo Walcott might play up front as well next season. Man from East Lower, do you see us buying a striker?
I can see us buying a striker. But like you say, we do seem to have quite a few now. It depends where he ends up playing Walcott, because I suppose we've just been talking about wingers and we've completely forgotten to mention that Walcott might well play there, and with a shoulder that works properly as well.
Yeah.
So, I think we might still buy a striker, but in a way it's going to be difficult because Henry and Van Persie are pretty much number one, then Adebayor is not far behind. Bentner wants to make his mark. You can't keep signing strikers, can you?
No, it's difficult. And what about Bentner, Gilberto Silva? He's done all right for Birmingham, but he does have a tendency to drift through games. He's got to change that if he really wants to make it at Arsenal.
He's a lazy player for me. I mean, I watched him not loads, 3 times maybe for Birmingham. He's obviously got ability, there's no doubt about that, but he's just one of those players who doesn't seem to move ever. He's very sort of stationary, wants the ball into feet all the time, isn't really prepared to look for it. I don't know. I think maybe, you know, he got a bit lackadaisical there after a good start. Hopefully he can improve. But I have to say, I'm not convinced by Bentner and Walcott at this stage as being ready to sort of make an impact in the first team. I wouldn't be too unhappy if we were to bring in a striker.
Yeah, what do you make of that good play? Imagine if, for example, the worst came to the worst and Henry got injured again and Van Persie got injured again, and in January Adebayor goes off to the African Cup of Nations with Togo, and what we have up front is a 19-year-old Bentner and 17, 18-year-old Theo Walcott to last us for 3 or 4 weeks, for example.
Well, a couple of points. First is, I don't think you can have too many strikers. I think, if you remember, there are a couple of years where Wenger went into the season with Henry, Bergkamp, Wiltord, Kanu and Jeffers, and that's forgetting any of the young players he had in reserve as well. That was five strikers alone, and you know, Ljungberg could have played up front as well, and Caballero played God knows. But what I think we really need, frankly, is a Davor Suker or an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or even a Robbie Fowler, not Robbie Fowler, because I think he has passed it. We need one of those players, if you look at who can sit on the bench, basically, and then can come in, and he can come in and score goals, and he won't need 7 or 8 games to warm up a la Baptista. If you look at Suker's record for the 99-2000 season, I think it was, he got something like 9 league goals in about 30-odd games. And, you know, that's the kind of thing we need. We need, you know, a kind of, in the way Bergkamp could a little bit, he didn't score the goals, but you at least knew you could bring him in and he'd do a decent job. And I think that's the kind of player we need. I mean, taking it slightly further, and a player who's not yet at that stage, not yet at that age where he's happy to sit on the bench, but Michael Owen, I mean, you hear these rumours every summer coming out of Newcastle. And the rumours this week came from a journalist who's very good friends with Freddie Sheppard up there. So it was kind of, in a way, I suppose it was coming from the Newcastle board in a way to appease their own fans, or at least to boost their own position. But I'll tell you what, Owen, I wouldn't be unhappy to see him arrive. It'd be something very different for the Arsenal strike force. He'd cause problems which the other players don't cause, in a way. You know, he'd have failings that the other players don't have in terms of control, that kind of thing. But I think we do need someone, because I think this season has taught us one thing, which is, you know, we thought we had four great strikers coming into this season. Baptista was just, you know, an abortion, frankly. He was awful. And, you know, I think it's a lesson, basically. I mean, this season's been an utter catastrophe up front.
Okay. What about that, then, man from East Lower, Michael Owen?
I think it would be... On paper, it sounds like a good deal. Not sure whether it would work on grass. I mean, the thing is, he's on 120 grand a week. That's a problem to start with.
Sure.
And also, he'd want to play all the time, which doesn't sound like it could be a problem if he scores loads of goals. But then that, you know, we have got three other strikers who would consider themselves starters. So you'd have to play that one really carefully. But having said that, you know, if we were given the option, and I'd say, yeah, why not? But would it actually work in reality? I'm not sure whether it will happen.
Okay, so everybody would bring in a striker if they could, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so with a striker and one or possibly two wide players added to the current squad,
yeah,
that's enough for us to win the title next season?
Only if Diaby turns into the Vieira-esque kind of player we hope he will. We need some dynamism in midfield. We need some of that get up and go, some of that great energy Vieira had, Essien had, Keane had. And I know that the inevitable riposte to that will be, well, look at United's midfield this season. It was Scholes and it was Carrick, and they brought in Hargreaves, so hardly of that ilk. But I just feel we need some great energy. At the moment, Diaby shows great potential, but Wenger doesn't yet trust him in central midfield. And I think that's quite, you know, something that shouldn't be ignored. He clearly doesn't feel yet he can rely on him to put in the tackles, to do the donkey work. And hopefully, if he can adapt his game, then yes, we've got a good chance.
Okay, Gilberto Silva, you reckon we could do it if we bring in those two or three players?
No chance. No chance.
So what do we need then to be competitive?
We can be, but not next season. It's too big a jump. We are so far off the pace, in my opinion. If you look at Manchester United and Chelsea, if we bought a whole new team, it would take time to gel, and that wouldn't work. And we're not going to do that. We're going to add a couple of players. You know, the young players on the side, we can do it in 2-3 years, maybe. Next season to make up... Go on.
I'd say our biggest problem at the moment is that the players we have, it's not they lack quality, they're just not playing well. And so I think any discussion about whether we can do it is reliant on them playing well. In my opinion, if they really fulfil what they can do, and we bring in a couple of players, then we could potentially challenge. But you know, if they don't fulfil their capabilities, then you're right. You know, it could be forever until we challenge. But I do not think that the biggest thing is the players we have fulfilling their potential.
I find it difficult because obviously I find it hard to pinpoint what those outside factors are. That how long does a player play badly before he's a bad player? I can't see enough changing to make up. What is it, 20 something points in 1 year? I mean, I'd love us to do it. I'd absolutely love it. And I actually thought this season we'd give it a go because I thought Galas, Rosicki and Baptista would be top quality signings. For various reasons, it hasn't quite worked out. But I find it hard with the limitations I believe we have on our spending. I find it hard to see us mounting a challenge when you consider that Liverpool, Chelsea and Manchester United will all strengthen, and some have already strengthened considerably.
Okay, man for me slower. If I can just put this to you, if we talk about, you know, the quality, let's say, but the quality of this team is there, and it's enough to beat Manchester United twice. It's enough to beat Liverpool. It's enough to get results against, you know, the top teams in the league. The difficulty has been against the so-called lesser lights. So is the problem not so much with the quality as the mentality of the team?
I do think that's been a problem this year. And you know, when I was at the Chelsea game last home game of the season, and I saw the way Chelsea just kept on coming at us, and I thought, you know, that's what we're missing, and that's what that set them apart from us. That game, I thought it wasn't a skill thing at all. It was a drive and an ambition and a togetherness, and that's what we're missing, I think, and that's what we have to get. Now, whether these players together as a unit can give us that, then maybe next season will tell us that. But I don't think they're lacking in skill at all. I just think it's slightly mental thing, which is why I think we need a midfield general, a driver who will pick the team up. That would be my main requirement this summer.
Okay. The problem is that, sorry if I just jump in, players like Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira, Steven Gerrard, John Terry, even some horrible bastard like Gary Neville, these players are really hard to find, and they grow out of a culture within a club that I just don't think we have in place at the moment.
Interesting point, that. Do you think there's a culture of... one of the things that people might accuse us of, when you look back over the reign of Arsene Wenger, there's one thing that's dropped off considerably, and that's our aggressiveness and our red card count. And there used to be a time where you couldn't pick up a paper without looking at the back page with, you know, 700 red cards under Arsene Wenger. We don't have that edge to us anymore, do we? Good player.
We're naive at the moment. You only have to look at the Carling Cup final when Lampard, you know, who we all hate, but in fairness to him, he knew exactly what he could get away with, and he got away with all of it. And then you've got that idiot Aboué, frankly, who goes and pats Wayne Bridge on the head, which is the most stupid thing you can do on a football pitch, because we all know that, frankly, is worse than poisoning someone in the minds of the FA. And, you know, he goes and gets a 3-game ban. I don't know about the whole character thing, because there are times when, yes, we seem to lack huge amounts of character, and we let in pathetic goals and we don't score goals. And then there are other times when we are 1-0 down and we come back in a fashion which is in a way the kind of stuff you expect from champions almost. And we win the game. You know, you only need to see how many times we went 1-0 down this season and got something out of the game. But yes, I do think we need a certain togetherness, we all need to gel. Although I would say one point, which is right now we all look back, we criticise Henry's captaincy and we say, why can't he be more like Adams? Why can't he be more like Vieira? Now, I can't speak so much about Adams because I was a bit younger at the time, but Vieira, I remember we sat around going, he's not a captain. You know, he hasn't got the togetherness. He doesn't gel up the team like Adams and all of that stuff. And we've all suddenly forgotten about that now. So, I don't know. You tend to, when you're not winning things, you tend to say there's something wrong with the team spirit. And then the minute you start winning things, the team spirit's brilliant. And I think that's true for any team in a way. So it's just, I don't know, it's just hard to tell. It's what comes first, the team spirit or the winning stuff?
Okay, well, room for improvement next season, for sure. We better leave it there, but I think we'll do this again before the first game of the season, see where we are in terms of signings, and we'll look for some predictions maybe for the season ahead. Lads, thanks very much, and I did press record this time.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
All right, talk to you. Cheers.
It's your
all right, cheers,
bye.
Guys. See ya.
Bye.
And my sincere thanks to the three lads for giving of their time so generously. And what happened at the start was we were about 2 or 3 minutes into it, having already asked the first question and gone well down the road, when I realised that I hadn't actually pressed record. Which was rather foolish of me, I have to say. But they took it in good spirit and just called me a cunt. Which is fair enough, I suppose. It stings a little bit inside. But there you go. Now, the man in the bar is here. He's got another player history.
Hello, and welcome to another player history with me. I can't tell you my real name, but it begins with C and ends in T. And my middle name is U. And my other confirmation name, you see, begins with N. Thank God no one's ever invented the acronym. Otherwise, I'd be rightly fucked altogether. Now, today, I'm going to tell you about a fella from Germany who came to play for Arsenal. Now, Arsene Wenger's uncovered some old gems in his time, scratching round the lower leagues, bringing in fellas who were injured or hadn't played football or had a dodgy heart or whatever. But he went a little bit too far when he brought in Stefan Maltz. Now, this was after Emmanuel Petit had left, you see, and what he wanted was another blonde left-footed midfielder. And that's pretty much what he got, only there was a slight problem in that you need to be a bit more than left-footed and blonde to replace Emmanuel Petit, you see. He forgot the whole being any good at football side of things, which is kind of important for a footballer. Some fellas can get away with it, sort of the way some pop singers can get away without actually being able to sing. Like Bob Gandalf, you see, from the Boomtown Rats. He couldn't fucking sing a note. All he did was get in league with starving people and make his name that way, you see. There's a lot of resentment about him over here in Dublin, you know. We don't like him, and the big woolly head. And now he's calling himself Sir Bob. What the fuck do you think you're doing, you stupid fucking rubber-lipped cunt, you? Anyway, Stefan Maltz played about 6 games for Arsenal. He scored a couple of goals, I think. But then they decided, that's enough. That's enough. And they sent him on his way to Kaiserslautern. I once wrote a poem about Stefan Maltz. I'll read it for you now. Hang on, I have it here. Hang on. Let me just get you some paper here. I have it. I carry all my poems around with me, you see. Here it is. Hang on now. Oh, Stefan Maltz, you are shite. It wasn't a very long poem, I have to say. It was one of my best, though. Right up there with me poem about Davor Suker, which went, oh, Davor Suker, who cares? Not even your mum. That was another fairly short poem, I have to say, because I don't like those old long ones like Paradise Lost. They wreck my head. Anyway, back to Stefan Maltz. These days, he's working as a park keeper in Dusseldorf, and he mows the grass every single day and stops the young people kissing when they're on the old benches. It's true.
And the man in the bar will be back on next week's Arscast with another player history. That's just about it for this week. There is no bet of the week because there's nothing left to bet on. And only 8 or 10 weeks or however long it is till the start of the new season. We could do maybe a daily podcast based on the transfer rumours coming out of Spain. There's bound to be plenty of fiction from El Mundo and Marca and AS and all of those. But possibly I don't have time to do a daily podcast. One of the things we will do, maybe not next week, but in one of the weeks ahead, is an all-time cunts 11, something that we spoke about in one of the Arscasts a while ago, just to sort of fill up some of the time. We'll get you to email in your all-time most hated 11 players in a 4-4-2 formation, but don't do it just yet. I'll give you the nod on the blog in the week that I want those emails and those teams sent in. So until next week's Arscast, have yourself a great weekend, and talk to you all next week on the blog. Bye.